Hey there, welcome once again to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimek. Today is Tuesday, April the 20th. Today on the program, we're going to talk about the importance of having a relationship with Jesus. Now, I know we've talked about this on the show before, but something in the gospel from today's Mass really got me. The idea of people, and we've been talking about this, I've been writing about it, and we've been talking about it on the program, the idea of the people looking to Jesus to provide for their needs, to provide them with the bread that they need to sustain them when he fed 5,000 people. Well, what can happen sometimes is, and we can all do this, we can become so focused on what Jesus can do for us. You know, even when we believe him, even when we have a relation in, I should say, even when we believe in him, and even when we have a relationship with him, and we turn to him and we pray, it's possible for us to get so focused on what he can give us. And don't get me wrong, he wants to provide for our needs. But we can get so focused on what he can give us, what he can give us, that we lose sight of the importance of just being with him for the sake of who he is. And I think that it's a fine point, right? But it's one that I think is important for us to learn. And in fact, it's something that he made clear when he was addressing to the people. So we'll look at this this passage from the Gospel of John, which again comes from today's Daily Mass. And I'm going to challenge you today to look at your relationship with Jesus, to examine what you pray for. And you know, I got to do this too. We all have to, I think, based on what he's saying here, just sort of assess where we stand. And do we value what he can do for us more than we value his friendship? And you know, we'll talk more about it, because I don't want you to think that you shouldn't go to him with all your needs. That flatters him. He's honored when you turn to him with your needs. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to reach out to him. He wants you to depend on him. But what he doesn't want is to lose sight of the fact that he's a person. He's a real person. And he loves you, and he wants to be in a relationship with you. It's that relationship that I don't think we can ever forget. But yet it's easy to forget about it sometimes. So that's what we're going to talk about on the program today. Hope you're doing well. Man, it is a gorgeous day here in southern New Jersey. Hope the weather is nice in your area. Now, I understand that it changes on the way, but you know what? We're in April now. We're headed toward May. It's April 20th. At least where I live, the weather is going to be getting a lot more favorable, in my opinion. Look, I'm not a snow lover. I know some people will think of the summer and get depressed, but for me, it's just a great time of year. I love it. So a day like this is fine. It's going to be cold, I think, on Thursday. There's going to be a change, some kind of front coming in on Wednesday, and it's going to change over to being very cold on Thursday morning. But you know what? I can deal with it. I can deal with the temporary discomfort. That's what we're having here. But you know what? I'm here. You're here. We're talking about the Lord. How can it get any better, right? I know how it can. Let's talk directly to him. Let's talk to him now. Let's talk to Jesus today and have a little chat about this program. If you'll allow me, I'm going to lead. You just follow along, okay? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, Jesus, so good to be with you. I know that you are with us, Lord. Wherever we are, you're with us. You hear us. You love us. Lord Jesus, you're real. You know, that might sound silly. Sounds kind of silly for me to say. But, Lord, it's very easy to lose sight of the fact that you are real. And furthermore, that you are a real person. And that I can have a relationship with you. That I can speak, and you can hear me, and you can speak to me. and you're present with me, it's a little bit tricky because this is sort of an unconventional relationship. This is not what I'm used to, and it can be challenging. But Lord, I know that it's possible. And I know how much you loved me because I know what you did on the cross for me personally. And I want to thank you for that, Jesus. And I want to repay you by loving you in return, by turning to you, by taking your message seriously, by listening to you, and then responding and putting it into practice what you're teaching me. Lord, with that in mind, I ask you to please accept all of our intentions this day. We lift up our friends, our families. We lift up ourselves. We pray that we can draw closer to you and get to know you better. We ask, Lord, that you draw us closer to your Father, that we can become more like you, and that we can avoid the temptation of sin. Lord, I'm going to ask you to send your Holy Spirit to me today to give me the words that you would like me to share on this program. And I'm going to ask you also to open all of our minds up and all of our hearts so that we can hear and respond to your message for us today. Lord Jesus, I ask this confidently in your almighty name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, well listen, thanks so much for praying with me. You know, sometimes if you've heard me pray at all, I never script these prayers, and until I start the program, I'm never really sure if I'm going to address the Father or Jesus or sometimes even the Holy Spirit. I try to mix it up, and I really go with what I believe the Spirit is leading me to do. Today, I felt it's appropriate to talk directly to Jesus. And, you know, I recommend that even if you don't feel his presence. Now, right now, as I look around, I see an image of Jesus. I'm looking at an image of Jesus. It's the Divine Mercy image, one of my favorites. I don't physically see Jesus present in the room, but through that image helps me to picture him. I do know through faith, intellectually in my head, that he's with me, but I don't necessarily feel him now. You're going to hear me say this a lot, and I know you hear me say this a lot, because I want you not to panic if you don't feel him. There are times when you feel him, and he's very real. You could really feel his presence. That happened to me yesterday. But it doesn't happen every day. So don't panic. And I would recommend that you just proceed on what you know in your head. You know he's real. You know he died on the cross for you. You know he's with you. And just proceed. And when you pray, talk to him that way. Talk to him as if you felt his presence. And again, you're not seeing him with your eyes. You're not necessarily feeling him. But you know through faith that he's with you and he hears you. And the more you do that, the stronger you become, the stronger your belief in him becomes, so that you just know that he's real. And you'll have your ups and downs. You'll have days when you don't feel him. You'll have days when you really feel him. You'll have days when you don't feel like praying. But if you learn to persist, and keep going, you're going to eventually settle into this groove or this routine where you're not questioning it. You're just saying your prayers. You're talking to him. You know he's real. And you just accept that fact. That's where we want to be. And that's what we actually want to keep. We want to keep working toward that belief that Jesus is real and that he wants to be involved in our lives. So very, very important to keep doing that and to keep moving forward with that. And that's what I do here on the program. I sometimes get lost in my prayers because I'm really focused when we pray together here. And I just thank you for sharing these prayers with me. Okay, my name is Gary Zimek. This is Following the Truth. We come to you every Monday through Friday for 30 minutes each day. We sit around the table. We talk about Jesus. We talk about the Father. We talk about the Holy Spirit. And we let him speak to us through Scripture, as we're going to do today. If you're a new listener, I want to say welcome. You know, there's always a chair here for you at my table. It's just always a pleasure to be with you here. You're welcome every day. I intend to keep doing this show for a long time to come, for as long as the Lord allows me to do it. And again, there's always room for you. If you want to find out more about my work, maybe sign up for my free daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, or pick up a copy of my latest book, Give Up Worry for Good, please just visit my website, followingthetruth.com, and you will be all set. So today, I'm going to continue to look at the daily mass readings because the gospel is just powerful. Now, a quick reminder, we are still in the Easter season. We're still in the Easter season, and we don't want to forget that Jesus is risen. He is risen from the dead. He defeated death. He was killed. He was murdered, but he rose from the dead, and he's alive, and he is with us. And we don't want to lose sight of that powerful resurrection concept, and we want to be thankful for it, because if he didn't rise from the dead, he wouldn't be able to be with us, right? He's alive. He's with us. So today, we're going to look at how he was trying to work with the people. Now, just to refresh your memory, these are the people, 5,000 men plus women and children, who were fed with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus performed a miracle. There was enough food to go around for everybody, and there were 12 baskets left over. So this was an incredible miracle documented in each of the 4 Gospels. Other than the resurrection, this is the only other miracle that's documented in all 4 of the Gospels. But what happened was, when the people were fed, their stomachs were filled, they got hungry again. And they went looking for Jesus, and they found him. And as we talked about on yesterday's program, Jesus explained to them that, you know, you guys were just looking for me because you were hungry. You're looking for bread. But I'm not a baker. I've got something even more valuable to give to you. And that's where today's gospel picks up. So they're coming along, but they're not quite where they need to be yet. They don't fully understand where they are supposed to be. They don't really get the whole big picture yet. And Jesus is working with them. And as we read this, this is John chapter 6, verses 30 through 35. It's obvious that they don't fully understand what he's talking about yet. And we can tell that by their response. So here we go. The crowd said to Jesus, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." So they liked this idea of the miracle and how Jesus gave them bread. He miraculously multiplied 5 loaves, 2 fish, and all of a sudden there's enough food for 5,000 men plus women and children, approximately maybe 12,000 people, to eat from those 5 loaves and 2 fish. They liked this. They liked miracles, plus their stomachs are filled. So their desires are being met. Jesus is satisfying their needs. And, you know, as humans, this is what we do. When we see a source of provision in our lives, we're going to keep going back to that source. When they encounter Jesus, he's giving them what they need. You know, it's sort of finding, if you need money and you find a rich person who's going to give you money, you're going to go to that person for money. You might not think to stop and have a relationship with that person. And you know, we might not intend to do this, but we all have needs. And if you find somebody who is meeting your needs, it's possible for you to value what they're giving you more than you value a relationship with them. I mean, that's our fallen human nature. We have certain qualities. We might not like these qualities, But we all maybe have that tendency. We have needs, and the needs can sometimes become more important than the relationships that, you know, that we all have the opportunity to participate in. So they're looking for food. And Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you." Again, you know, we talked about this. When he says, "Amen, amen," it's like, listen up, guys, because what I'm about to say really matters. "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Now, so what Jesus is doing, he's bringing them along gradually. He's saying, wait a minute, this was not Moses. It was never Moses who was giving you the bread. It was really God. Jesus is saying, my Father, who was giving that bread to you through Moses. And that's an important distinction for all of us. When money comes in, whether you're employed in a traditional way or you're self-employed like I am, we all have to remember that the money that comes in, the money that goes into our bank accounts, ultimately is a gift from God. It might be coming, the check or the direct deposit might be coming from our employer, but it really, everything in life ultimately comes from God. It's a gift from God. And I think losing sight of that can really be harmful to our relationship with our Father in heaven and our relationship with Jesus. It's all a gift. And that's what he wants to tell them. Like, this wasn't Moses who was giving you this bread. This was miraculous bread, manna from heaven that came down from my Father. And that's where this bread came from. So he's bringing them along gradually. Remember, their first thought is, we love these miracles. We love when you multiplied the fish and the bread and fed us. We want to see more of that because it tasted good and it's pretty cool to see miracles. But he wants to take them up a notch. He wants to elevate their belief in him. He wants to take their relationship to the next level. So when they say, "Sir, give us this bread always," you know, one of the things to keep in mind is they're not recognizing that he is Lord yet. They're calling him Sir. So I think that's an important detail that we don't want to overlook. They're not quite where he has to, where they have to be yet. He's going to elevate them gradually. "Sir, give us this bread always." Now, here's the point. He's about to say something. So now they know that this is special kind of bread, that it's not just ordinary bread. You know, I'm a big bread lover. You like bread? I'd love, you know, warm bread with some nice butter on it or something. But Jesus is, I'm getting myself hungry. This is, I shouldn't do that. But Jesus is saying, no, this is special bread. So then they're saying, okay, cool. Give us the special bread. We like this, the bread from heaven. And then Jesus said to them, because they still didn't quite get it. He said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. And whoever believes in me will never thirst." So initially they're looking for ordinary bread because they're hungry. Well, now they're understanding that this is a special bread. Now, who knows if they really understood what Jesus is talking about? Well, this special bread from heaven, and it'll give you life. It gives life to the world. So, all right, great. Give us this life-giving bread. And that's when Jesus says, hold on. I want you to value me. I want you to be with me. I want to have a relationship with you, not just give you bread, whatever kind, regular bread, heavenly bread, super duper bread. Jesus wants more than that. Because what would happen to them is once they got their bread, they'd take off. But he wants them to stay because he loves them and wants them to enter into a closer, deeper friendship with him. You know what? Excuse me. The same thing applies to each of us. Jesus is looking for that friendship. Jesus is looking not just to be a source of provision for us. He wants to give us what we need. I mean, again, I'm not saying he doesn't. But sometimes we look to him, and I really don't like to say this because it sounds seedy and selfish, but it's not intentional for the most part when we do it, but we look to him as a source of whatever, someone who can fill our needs for happiness, for peace, for material things, for spiritual things. But we look to what he can give us more than just to be our friend. And he wants that relationship. And if you pursue that relationship and walk with him every day, have to spend time with him through prayer, through the sacraments, through scripture, if you do that, if you spend that time with him, if you take the time to work on the relationship, you're going to get the things you need as well. But I think the challenge for us is that we should be willing, or more willing, to be with him for who he is than for what he gives us, which means that even if he doesn't give us anything that we want, we're still going to say, all right, Lord, I'm here for you. And the way that I believe one of the best ways we can do that is to continually pray, even if we don't feel anything, even if we don't feel like praying, even if we're not getting any good feelings, even if we don't feel the Lord's presence. When we turn to him in prayer and we say, I'm going to pray whether I feel anything or not, whether he gives me what I want or not, when I do that through my actions, I am saying to Jesus, you are more important than anything you can do for me. The bread's great. I need the bread, but right now I just want to spend time with you. And this is a very challenging thing for most of us to do. It's hard to pray, either when you don't feel like it, when you're mad at Jesus because he didn't come through for you, or because you feel your predicament is hopeless. You know, that's the real test of faith. When you pray, even though in your mind what you're praying for has no possibility of coming true. And we all have those situations. You know, of course, with God, all things are possible. But we all have those terminal cancer situations. We all have that irreparable relationship problem situation. We all have that empty bank account, unemployment for 2 years, thousands of resumes sent out, no job prospects, you know, these predicaments that appear hopeless. True faith kicks in, and that desire to have a relationship with Jesus kicks in when we're in that situation where everything appears lost and I'm ready to give up. But I consciously make a decision to say, Lord, I'm here. I'm going to talk to you. I want to be with you. It's not about what you give me. It's about who you are. You know, he wants to give you what you need, but he values your friendship more than anything else. And it's important to keep our focus on heaven and to want to get there. You know, we should have that desire to live forever in heaven. And as a result, we should behave in a way that doesn't alienate us from the Lord. But living in heaven and experiencing that, and this is hard. It's hard for me to word this because I want to be really careful about this. Living in heaven and getting all the benefits of heaven shouldn't take the place of desiring to love Jesus for who he is. All that's going to take place, but our main desire in getting to heaven should be so that we could spend time with Jesus, who loves us, and we want to love him in return. This is something we're going to be working on for the rest of our lives. This is not something that comes natural in most cases, and it's going to involve work, and it's going to be tricky sometimes, But it's something that we can do. It's just like trusting in Jesus. You know, as I look at this divine mercy image in front of me, the words at the bottom say, Jesus, I trust in you. We have talked about this on the show before. Sometimes you don't feel that trust. Sometimes you don't feel confident in him. Sometimes you don't feel he can really fix whatever you're scared about, that frightening problem that you're trying to deal with. But you can choose to trust him. That's a conscious decision on your part. You can choose to trust in him. And that's where the relationship becomes more important than the feelings he gives you, or the rewards that he gives you, or the answers to your prayer that he gives you. You know, can you pray even though you're not feeling any good consolations in return? That's the sign that you're telling him you love him. That's the sign that he's more important than what he can give you. And you know, that's just something to keep in mind. And really, the way to get around it is to say, to be determined, I'm going to pray. I'm not going to give up on Jesus. I'm going to pray no matter what. You know, and if you get a chance, I'm going to be using a different verse, but a similar concept. I'll be talking about it on the Sunrise Morning Show on EWTN Radio tomorrow. That's Wednesday at 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time. So if you get a chance, check it out, because I'm going to look at a different story. But essentially, the message is the same. Lord, I don't care. I know you can do this. I know you can handle what I'm asking you to do. But even if you don't, I'm not deserting you, Lord, because I love you. You mean a lot to me. We can make that choice. And I'm going to encourage you to make that choice, to say, Jesus, you're more important than what you give me. You're more important than what you give me. Say that today, all right, when you talk to him. Hey, I'm looking at the clock. It's about time for me to get on out of here. If you have questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. In the meantime, head on over to my website if you want to find out more about my work, or maybe leave a donation to help sustain my ministry. Other than that, I look forward to being back with you here tomorrow on Following the Truth. Have a wonderful day, and thanks for listening. God bless. Talk to you next time.